Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello and welcome to Wretched. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And when I say beautiful, what I really mean by that, in Georgia, that means humid and sweaty. So we've been toasty. Why are we not in the studio? Because we are out here on the campus because we received permission to exercise our free speech rights to hand out this bad boy. It is the biggest question, a part of the biggest project. Don't know if you heard the news, but 900,000 of these DVDs have been distributed on college campuses across the U.S. of A. And even as far away as Taipei, no kidding, 900,000. There's a group of people who are today handing out 600 of these at the campus here all over the country on this very day. 5,000 of these will be distributed. So we thought we'd stop by and just talk to some folks. That's code for witness to them. Hey, lo and behold, you'll never guess who else happens to be here hoping to win people to a Jesus Christ. Not the Jesus Christ, but to a Jesus Christ. Who is here? The Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they talk about Jesus. They talk about Jesus Christ a lot. There's just a little rub. Jesus said that if you don't understand him rightly, you don't have him. If you have a wrong understanding, bad theology or Christology is off, then you don't know the Father because you don't know the Son rightly. So the Mormons talk about a Jesus who's different than the Jesus of the Bible. How? Let me count the ways. First of all, he's a created being. That's not what historical orthodoxy has taught over the centuries. The Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is actually literally the offspring of the Father who had a relationship with Mary and has given us Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the same Jesus that the Bible presents. And yet, look at the dedication of these young men. They go out for 2 years to hit the road, ring on doorbells, walk around, drive their bikes all over the place, and all of that while wearing a white shirt and tie with a very Southern Baptist-like haircut. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe we could talk to one of them there Mormons who may or may not be willing to talk to us. For instance, they would like for you to read their... Hold on, excuse me. I have to get down with my bad self. Okay. Who walks around blaring their music? Well, apparently that guy. He wants the whole world to enjoy that. The Mormons won't take this literature. They want you to read theirs, but they are not allowed to read yours. Let's see if we can get one of these people. By the way, they've got a booth set up here. In fact, Adrian, can you come over here? We've got Let His Life Touch Your Life. It's an icon. It's a video of Jesus. And they're giving away free videos, too. Hey, what do you know? All right, gentlemen, who is the spokesperson? Could I talk to either one of you fellas, or both? You can double team me. All right, I want to genuinely learn about Mormonism. All right? So you are the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Tell me who Jesus is.
He's our Lord and Savior and our Redeemer. And he's the one that died for us on the cross so we can have the chance to live with God once more.
So we can have a what?
Have a chance to live with God once more.
Okay, so is Jesus Christ a prophet, an apostle? Is he God?
He's the Son of God. I believe that he is a the one that our Heavenly Father chose to come to this earth to fulfill us all Heavenly Father's plan.
Did Jesus Christ, according to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, always exist?
Absolutely.
So he's eternal?
Absolutely.
And how exactly do you believe he eternally existed? Here we go, hold on.
From the beginning of time. Of course, the scriptures say he is in the beginning. You know, he is the Word. He was the Word with God.
Was it at creation that he came into being?
What would you mean by that?
I thought you were referring to Genesis 1:1, and it sounded like, but you can correct me, that Jesus was at the beginning, created at the beginning. Did I hear you correctly?
He was in the beginning.
Okay. He was in the beginning. All right. Now, did he exist as the Son of God for all of eternity prior to in the beginning?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I presume Mormonism is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Trinitarian, correct?
So we believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are three separate and distinct beings.
Separate beings or separate persons?
Any way you want to put it, I guess that would be the same. Yeah.
Well, actually, there could be a difference depending on how you understand it. Separate beings would indicate that they are individual gods. I think that the idea that they are three persons would be it's one God in three persons. Do you hear the difference?
So I say if you were to able to see God and Jesus Christ, I'd see two different persons.
Well, I don't think you can see the Father because he's spirit. But there's a difference, I think, between beings, which seems like an independent entity, versus a person who's a member of the Trinity.
So I guess that's where we would have a difference of belief. We believe that the Father has a body of flesh and bones, as tangible as yours or mine. We believe that the Son also has a body of flesh and bones, but the Holy Spirit does not have a body of flesh and bones so that it can dwell within us to teach us of truth.
Now, the Father having a body, did he eternally exist?
He did.
How did he come into being if he's with his physical body? What was the process? What happened?
I don't exactly know how God was created or if God was created. The scriptures don't teach us that. Right? So what we understand is really that God teaches us that he's eternal.
Okay, so he eternally existed. Did he eternally exist with flesh and bones body?
Scriptures don't teach us that either, so I don't know.
All right. You said something kind of interesting to me. You said that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior so that you can have a chance to be with the Father. Do you believe that we only have a chance, that he provided a chance, or that he secured our presence with God for eternity?
Well, he told us specifically in the Bible, if you love him, we have to keep his commandments by keeping his commandments by following Jesus Christ. So as we shall know best to follow his commandments and follow his teaching, we can have the chance to really prepare ourselves to return to God once more.
So we have a chance. So for me to go to heaven, what must I do?
Well, you got to apply his gospel by having faith in him, repenting for your sins, being baptized, receiving something called the gift of the Holy Ghost. And after you have all those things, you're striving your best to live your life righteously. And baptism is a very essential part so we can have the opportunity to live with God once more.
And it's living my life righteously. What standard? What is are you talking about perfect? Do I have to be perfect?
Absolutely not. None of us are perfect. All of us are imperfect beings. But we're striving our absolute best to seek perfection on the earth at this time.
All right. Now, I've heard a phrase that describes Mormon soteriology, salvation theology. And you can correct me if you think this statement is wrong, that we do our best and Jesus does the rest. Do you think that accurately represents what you were just saying?
In a ways, but we need to put forth the effort because the Bible speaks faith without works are dead. And we're going to act upon the things that we're doing. And after, as we act upon the things by asking God to help us in our life, he's going to play his part.
Now, let me share with you what I think the order is, and then you tell me why you disagree. Fair enough? All right. I believe that when Jesus Christ died, fully God, fully man, it satisfied the judgment of God on my behalf. He was a propitiation. He bought us back. He ransomed us. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you'll have to trust me, but you can always look it up, says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right? So I believe we get saved, totally forgiven, we're made righteous, heaven is secured, and because of that, we do works. That sounds different than what you were describing.
Yeah, I'd say really what we believe is that faith in Jesus Christ, without action, there is no faith. We said before, faith without works is dead. Paul said, it's through faith that we are saved. Jesus Christ declared that many, many times. He said, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but him that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If we are to have faith in Jesus Christ, we have to believe that he is the Son of God with a belief that leads us to actually follow him.
I don't think I would disagree with you. I think the difference might be that I believe that those works are motivated because of salvation, and it sounds like you're saying that's a requirement for salvation.
I wouldn't say that the works are a requirement for salvation, but that the works will be manifest if you have faith sufficient to be saved.
We'll continue on A Witnessy Kind of Wednesday here on Wretched Radio.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Whether you're tackling marriage challenges, parenting questions, or personal growth, Fortis Institute is ready with biblically grounded wisdom. We're not just offering commentary, we're providing a comprehensive toolkit for living boldly in an increasingly complex world. Through our daily podcasts and video content and live events, we're equipping believers to stand firm without wavering. And if you want to be part of something bigger, join the Fortis community today. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. It's Fortis Institute, where we're standing firm and standing together.
Remember when we were kids and the adults would say, hey, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It'll change. Now it seems the whole world's forgotten that climate has always been changing. And on Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Fortis Institute fellow Dr. Jason Lyle will be joining us for a webinar to explore what's really happening with our climate. Not the panic you see on the news, not the politics, just an honest assessment backed by scientific evidence and biblical truth. What does God's Word actually say about our role as stewards of creation, and how do we separate fact from fear when it comes to climate predictions? Our goal is to equip you with the information that will give you confidence to discuss climate issues from a perspective that honors both science and scripture. You can register for the webinar right now at fortisinstitute.org/webinar. It is completely free. The truth about climate change with Dr. Jason Lyle. It is coming up again Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. fortisinstitute.org/webinar. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, Do not fear nature, but fear him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now, gentlemen, I want to kind of move away from theology just for a moment, because I have to applaud you for your willingness to come out here and do this. Why do you do it?
Why do I come to Civil Mission? It's because I really want to help my brothers and sisters understand how Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father loves us, and how he's so excited for us to return to live with him once more. And so many people in the world right now doesn't understand what they can do to live with our Father in heaven once more. And as Jesus Christ said, go ye therefore, teaching all nations and baptizing them in the Father and in his name and in the Holy Spirit's name as well. And we are striving our best to fulfill his great commission so we can really see what we can do to help our brothers and sisters.
2 years is the commitment, right? Ryan?
I love it.
How often do you get to see your family during those 2 years?
Once a week, we will email our family back home. And then twice a year, on Christmas Day and Mother's Day, I will Skype or we'll video chat.
But that's it?
That's it.
All right. I'm sure somebody thought this through. Why is that the rule? What are they trying to do for you, to you, by limiting your access to your family?
I think a good example would be Jesus Christ. I know we're trying to stay away from theology here, but
don't worry, I don't mind.
I remember of Jesus Christ is saying that no man setting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, I've set these 2 years aside to help other people build their families and build the strength of their families and their love of the Lord. And by kind of leaving mine behind for 2 years, that I'll always be able to go back. And I love my family dearly.
So if somebody who thought about becoming a Mormon, would I be required to do a 2-year missions trip?
You would not, no.
Because I'm too old. Go ahead, just say it.
Absolutely not, actually. So you can do a 2-year mission trip as a senior couple, but you're not actually required, no matter the age.
I was just called a senior couple. That kind of hurt. You could have called me old, but a senior couple? How long have you been out?
I've been out 18 months.
18 months. All right, you're on your way there. And you?
About 21.
How many people have said to you, I want to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
I can't count. Maybe over 100?
Really? How many people do you talk to in a day?
I'd like to talk to over 100 a day. Genuine conversations. I'm out here, you can see it's a wonderful area, a wonderful opportunity to chat with everyone.
It's fishing in a barrel here.
Right. Absolutely.
Very impressive. Now, let's return to theology just for a moment, shall we? In the New Testament, an apostle was an apostle. One of the qualifications was that he had an encounter with the resurrected Christ. Paul, seeing him on the road to the road to Damascus. And the disciples, of course, they saw the resurrected Jesus. That was a qualification for being an apostle. Do your prophets and apostles have to have an encounter with Jesus Christ to be qualified for that office?
We believe that the apostles that we have are special witnesses of Christ. Just as Christ, before he was resurrected, had called 12 apostles, he chose them. We believe that he chooses them today. And that as special witnesses, they know who he is. And some of them have even seen him.
So some have claimed to see him. Okay. So prior to 1830, who were the prophets and apostles of the church from the time of the resurrection till 1830?
So we have Peter. He was one of the last prophets that when Jesus Christ left, he told him to go and teach the gospel. And you can see that Peter was crucified and his apostle as well was crucified as well. And from that went in the 1830. Joseph Smith, he was called to be a prophet, but he wasn't the founder or the one that created the church. He was the instrument that God used to...
Who is between Peter and Joseph Smith?
It was the Brick of Friday.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Now, I've also, my understanding is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, there are 3 levels of heaven, yep. Celestial, telestial, and terrestrial. And depending on how you do on earth will determine what level of eternity you inherit. Is that okay to say it that way?
I suppose that's a okay way to put it. It's left for interpretation of what you believe heaven is. There may be 3 levels, but only in the highest level can you actually reside with God and Jesus Christ. And if heaven to you is a place where God and Jesus Christ is, then only the top would be heaven. But I would say rather than how you do in life, it's really where you would be most comfortable. That God, he wants us to live in a place in which we would be at most peace. And for those that chose not to live righteously in this life will not feel comfortable.
I get that. So it sounds again, though, my performance is going to determine where I spend eternity. Is that correct?
I'd say where we feel most comfortable based on how we performed in this life.
Do you remember the Bible verse that I shared with you a couple of moments ago? Ephesians 2:8-9? I'll say it again, and then you tell me how you interpret that verse. Fair enough? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you harmonize what seems to be a pretty clear teaching of no works are credited to your account? It is all the work of Jesus, grace alone as a gift.
I would say the only thing you truly have to do is have faith. That through faith you are saved. If your faith isn't sufficient enough to be saved, then God has prepared a place for you to live, which is marvelous, which is beautiful, which is better than here than earth. Somewhere that you can live.
Okay, but help me out a little bit. The idea that Jesus Christ did everything, and we don't bring any works with us like a resume to say, this is what I've done, I get to go here, because that would mean we get to say, I did pretty good. And that would rob God of the glory that he deserves for sending his son. So harmonize what you're describing as works with this concept in Ephesians 2:8-9.
But specifically for like my life as well, I had to act upon the things that I was doing because I had a faith bought out acting by reading my scriptures daily or acting to go to church or acting to pray to God. That is an act of faith. And as we act by striving our best to live our life as righteously as possible, we can have the opportunity to really receive the guidance and the blessing from our Heavenly Father. We're not going to work for our salvation, but it's very important to increase our faith by doing the things that God would expect us to do.
Now, one last thing, fellas. Maybe two last things. I've heard that, and you tell me if this is accurate, that if I'm a faithful Mormon doing works of righteousness, that one day I could be like God the Father and have my own universe. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
It's a beautiful doctrine, isn't it? The fact that God...
What is that doctrine called? I'm curious.
I guess the doctrine of exaltation.
So we can be exalted to the same level as God the Father?
I'd say absolutely. However, he will still always be our Father. He will still always be our God.
So you then someday might have a universe where you've got people like us that you are the God of. Is that correct?
I believe so.
One last question, and you can pass on this one because I'm fuzzy on this, mm-hmm. All right? But as long as you're standing here, as best I can tell, you're a black man.
Yeah.
I think the doctrine of the Mormon Church has changed regarding the thinking about black people.
So that was a thing that would pass in the 1800s that was speaking about blacks cannot hold the priesthood, but it wasn't saying that black people cannot join the church, it's just we couldn't hold the priesthood. I have so many times in the Bible as well too that people in the Bible was not supposed to get baptized in a sense and stuff too. So like as time goes by, a guy named the prophet was Brigham Young, he prayed to God and asked God if you think blacks should get a priesthood, and God told him no. And that's not a bad thing at all. But as time goes by, the blacks could have the opportunity to receive the priesthood as well, too.
If Brigham Young asked God, what is the role of black people regarding the temple? At that time, no priesthood. Then that changed in 1970?
1970, I think. Okay.
Why did God change his mind?
That's a good question. I wonder why he changed his mind, too, if you want to use that terminology. Previously, he only allowed the Levites to hold the priesthood, and eventually he allowed everyone. At times, he only allowed Moses or Aaron to hold the higher priesthood. So he does change sometimes.
Do you believe that changes God, that he changes positions?
So maybe I should rephrase that he does change sometimes. He changes his plan for us, or he alters his plan for us based on what will allow us the most happiness and the most perfection, or to at least the best pathway towards perfection. You know, he doesn't change as in his truth or his belief. He is perfect.
Okay, so God is all of omnipotent and omniscient, so he knows everything. He knew this conversation was going to happen.
Uh-huh, he absolutely did.
Do we have a free will? Are we making genuine decisions?
I believe so. We are. God has blessed us with one of the greatest gifts in this world, the only gift which he cannot take away, which is our free will, you know, our free agency to choose between good and evil.
All right, gentlemen.
Yeah.
We're out here passing out a DVD, sort of like you guys. Yeah. It looks like you've got videos. Are you allowed to take this from me?
Yeah, absolutely. We can take it from you.
Would you watch it?
I might watch it one day.
Really?
What is it about?
It's about the gospel. Yeah, it's about the gospel.
Well, I will watch it when I get back home after my mission. But we can make a trade. We can give you a Book of Mormon for the CD.
I will take it.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. You're a gentleman, and I appreciate it. Thanks for the lesson. Appreciate it very much. All right?
Until next time, go serve your king.